Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. What you are about to hear was originally recorded in 2010 as research for my book, Public Speaking Superpowers. After going through all this content, I've decided to release these 80-plus recordings as a bi-weekly podcast. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. Today, I'm speaking with Betty Lou Higgins. Betty Lou is a storyteller with Eden Valley Enterprises, an organization that uses dramatic storytelling to educate people about history and heritage. Her programs not only educate, they instill a desire to learn even more. Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers, Betty Lou.
Well, thank you for having me, Karma.
Just so listeners can get a feel for your unique expertise, could you tell us a little about your journey to success in public speaking?
Well, I have a BA in theater from Baldwin-Wallace. Though most of my time at the college and actually through most of my career was initially spent backstage or offstage or directing or however you want to look at a theater production, about 10, 12 years ago, I started getting into storytelling sort of accidentally when we had some requests in our company to have some storytelling programs. And initially, I was hiring people to do memorized programs, much in the fashion of Garrison Keillor, but found that there were many smaller organizations that couldn't afford a program with an actor that had to go through quite an extensive rehearsal period to learn all the lines. So we tripped across a way of doing them as a reader's theater program. And now we call them our big book programs. And I actually have a big book, as in it's about 3 feet by 3 feet.
<That's> a big book.
And that allowed us to do it sort of as a dramatic reading, which, of course, cut the rehearsal time dramatically. And so we were able to cut the price for some of these smaller organizations. And then because it was such a smaller operation, I started doing those myself. And I only use the other actors when someone wants a bigger project, and then I direct it and treat it like a regular theater piece. So that's sort of how I got into it, and then after that, things just kind of grew, and so I've been doing that pretty regularly, and I also teach not only computers to senior citizens, but I've also been teaching some history programs for a community college here in Ohio, and they're all based on our storytelling programs, which are Ohio history and Great Lakes history and American history. And so it's just sort of grown over the last decade or so.
So with these big book programs, you're actually reading it. The words are there in front of you.
Oh, yeah. The words are put in with nonstick tape, you know, the kind you can peel off so it doesn't ruin the book. And then depending on which program they want, I print it in giant type and tape it into the book so that way I can read it. Now, mind you, at this point, because I redo a lot of the programs or the stories in different ways for different groups, depending on where you hit me in the cycle, it's as one of our groupies, as I like to call them, said, they're not exactly read. They're sort of half memorized because...
Oh, yeah. There's a definite skill to being able to do that and do it so that it doesn't look like you're literally reading.
Right, right. But the programs have helped people to learn more about their heritage and created a desire in them to learn more and to delve into history more because that's what we've been focusing on in a way that, as one of my students called it, it's not your grandmother's history class. And
right.
We don't concentrate on the date something happened. We concentrate on the story that happened.
And, you know, that is probably the best way to learn history because I remember when I was growing up in high school, all my high school history teachers were just so boring. I just thought I hated history, especially the westward expansion. I thought it was so boring. Then in college, I took a class, and I thought I had chosen the one that didn't cover the westward expansion, but I accidentally did. But the teacher made it interesting. For the first time in my life, the westward expansion was actually interesting, and it was because we were learning the stories of the individual people who were involved.
Yeah, it's important, and you were lucky to trip across a teacher that was like that. And I actually got into history sort of accidentally as well, because when I was in college, I was working for a college newspaper and did an article on one of the oldest buildings on the campus, and a history professor called me in, and he wanted to have a history written about the college. So I agreed to write this history of the college. It was my first quarter on campus, you know, what did I know? But I said to him, well, I'm a theater major, so, you know, that's got to come first. He said, okay. So the next 4 years I spent writing this campus history, but in the middle of that, one of my teachers in the theater department gave me a copy of Cleveland, the Best Kept Secret by George Condon to read. It had just come out, and George Condon writes history in a way I can only hope that what I'm telling people is in that style. I mean, he had a fun sense of the people and saw the humor in things. And I lived and grew up in Garfield Heights, which is above the Cuyahoga Valley in Ohio, and there was a canal down there, a street called Canal Road, and that's what I knew about it. Well, in the middle of this book, he happened to mention the Ohio Erie Canal and told these stories, and all of a sudden it dawned on me that he was talking about that thing that was basically in my backyard. I lived there. I went to elementary school, to high school there, and not once did a teacher ever say to us, even when they were talking about the Ohio Erie Canal, that that's what that thing was down there. Well, at that moment, I was so incensed that if I could have found a teacher, I would have smacked them. And that moment was what led me to start wanting to dig into history and find the facts, and which basically ignited my passion for Ohio history.
Yeah, it's just kind of interesting because my father actually is a history major. He taught African history at Kenyatta College. History was a definite passion of his, and here's his daughter thinking, oh, history's so boring.
Oh, I'll bet he loved that.
Oh, yeah, and then now I'm actually working on my own history project. Have been for a few years now in the history of science fiction.
Oh, cool.
So I went from thinking history was the most boring thing to actually working on a history project myself. So.
Well, there you go. You just never know, do you?
You never know. So given your experience, do you believe that public speaking is a learned skill or something you were born being able to do, and why?
Well, many people think it's a superpower, but I think that to one degree or another, everybody is a public speaker. They don't believe it. They don't realize it. I mean, Shakespeare said all the world is a stage, and he's absolutely right. You can't get through a day without public speaking. It's just that nobody ever thinks about the fact that they're standing in public talking, like
right.
In a grocery store, for instance, or, you know.
Or talking with their friends at a party.
Right, exactly. So I think everyone is a public speaker, but they don't think about it, and then when they do stop to think about it, it just scares them too much. And like anything else, the more you practice it, the better you're going to get.
Right. So now imagine that you are a public speaking superhero. What do you believe are your main superpowers?
For me, people in the audience tell me that it's my enthusiasm and how excited I get about what I'm telling them. They say they can clearly see that I love the topic. I think that goes a long way. I think if, as an audience member, if you're watching someone who is as good of a topic as it might be or as interested as you might be in it, if that speaker really has no interest in the topic, I think it's going to affect the whole performance. And I think the other part of that is the normal kinds of things that we think about in a theater performance, which is eye contact and a relaxed attitude. And in public speaking particularly, not so much in a play, for instance, but in storytelling or when you're actually doing a speech, the other big component is flexibility, being able to go with the flow, because you often don't know what's going to happen. You know, a light
right.
bulb can go out, you can rip on the stage. I mean, there's all sorts of weird things that can happen, and as long as you can keep moving and don't let that faze you, that's the important thing.
Yeah, and that is definitely a skill, is having that ability to take the little bumps in the road and just make them, oh, look at that, that wasn't that fun, and then move on. And
it is, and part of it is once you do it often enough, you kind of get comfortable with what you're doing and your topic that you can stop worrying so much about that and pay more attention to the room, so to speak.
Right.
I finished a semester at the class I was teaching in American history, and a lot of the programs that I was doing for that class involved PowerPoint and the computer. Well, the first 3 weeks of class, of course, the little man in the computer did not want to be involved in this class. And he would fight me every step of the way. Well, by the third week, I said to my husband, I don't know whether these people are enjoying the stories more or they're being more entertained by me fighting with the little man. Sure enough, at the end, after I passed out the surveys of how they felt about the class, at the question of what did you like best about the class, someone actually wrote, loved watching you fight with the computer and find out what you would do next.
It's nice to know that you're entertaining when you're frustrated, right?
By about the third week, when he was just being truly obnoxious, we finished the program, and I said, well, next week we're just going to give him a little time off, and I'm bringing in a real man who's going to sing for us, and perhaps he'll figure out that he's replaceable. So sure enough, I bring in this singer, and the guy sang, and we went through this program with no technology, and from that week forward, the little man never argued with me again during that class.
All sorts of weird things can happen. I remember seeing one speaker, she's short, so she tends to wear higher heels. And she gets up on stage, and she'd been talking for like 5 minutes when all of a sudden the heel broke off her shoe.
Oh, jeez.
So she ended up having to just take off both her shoes and give the rest of her presentation in her stocking feet. But she did it with such like, oh, look at that, and then just, it didn't faze her at all. And that's, I think, that's definitely a skill worth having.
Yeah. We did a program one time, and the actress, it was a first-person character program, wasn't a storytelling program, and it was memorized. It was a real show. The actress was portraying someone from the 1960s, and she had a slip-on under this house dress that she was wearing, and halfway through the elastic in the waist, pop, the slip dropped down around her ankles.
Oops.
She looked down, she stepped out of it, she kept right on going and left it sitting there.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, the show must go on, right?
That's right. At least it was a slip and not her dress, so.
Oh yeah, that would have been much more embarrassing.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give someone if they wanted to develop these superpowers we've just been talking about as well?
Well, really it is practice. Everything gets easier the more you do it. When I did start teaching those history classes at the college that were based on our storytelling programs, they were every week. I had to do that. And by the end of that first semester, I noticed that my comfort level had just risen dramatically just because I was forced to do something every single week. So there is no substitute for actually doing it in front of a live audience.
Right. It builds up your comfort level as well as
practicing
the words themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
How do you develop that, I guess, finesse to be able to take the little mistakes and weird things that happen to you because technology will break down, shoes will break.
Yeah.
How do you develop, what is it that you need to do to be able to handle those with grace while you're on the stage?
Well, I think you can't take yourself too seriously, and don't be so worried about what are you going to think or what is the audience going to think? I mean, for one thing, they're just going to think that an accident happened. That's it. As long as you keep going, they're not going to spend a lot of time thinking about it. You know, just having a sense of humor about those kinds of things and not being so wrapped up in yourself that you think you have to be perfect. I actually had a script on stage one time for a music program. I went to introduce the next song. The song was Once in Love with Amy from Where's Charlie? I've already got myself confused. And I'm looking at the script, and I read Once in Love with Amy from Charlie's Angels. Well, the moment I said it, I knew what happened, and I burst out laughing. The audience burst out laughing. Pretty soon we couldn't stop laughing because it was just so obviously crazy. And after the laughing, I just turned it over to the singer, and he sang Once in Love with Amy, and everybody was... And I just said,
from Charlie's Angels.
Where's Charlie? Yeah. Never happened on Charlie's Angels. But that's all you can do is just laugh at yourself, you know?
Yeah.
You know what? It's theater. No one's going to live or die based on what you do on that stage. So, you know, we're not firemen here. We're not surgeons. It doesn't matter. You're there to entertain someone.
You know, that's very true. Even if you're doing an educational presentation, entertainment is a key component of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, everything is.
I mean, yeah.
Like you said with your teacher, once you start becoming entertained by the topic, and however you want to define entertained, you'll learn it better. Entertainment really has to be involved in everything. And even little kids are learning, and that's why it's called play.
Right.
Play School didn't get that name when they put that on their products by accident.
Right.
Somebody thought about that and meant it.
Right. Definitely. Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and obvious joy in what you do with us today.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me, and I'm looking forward to seeing your book, and I wish you all the best of luck with your projects as well.
Thank you so much. This is the end of today's episode of Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence, signing off.
Because this was recorded a few years back, I've cut the speaker's contact information from the recording because it may have been out of date. If you would like to learn more about today's speaker, go to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com/featured speakers and click on her picture. I'm working to keep the information there as fresh as possible.